Hi, and welcome to Walk Talk, a podcast courtesy of the Wound, Ostomy, and Continence Nurses Society. Walk Talk is your opportunity to learn more about advocacy, education, and research that support the practice and delivery of expert healthcare to individuals with wound, ostomy, and continence care needs. Please visit wocn.org/podcast to subscribe and make sure you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Jody Scardillo.
Welcome to this week's edition of Walk Talk. I'm your host, Jody Scardillo. This week, I'm delighted to welcome back Brooke Passy. Brooke is the Director of Meetings for the WOCN Society, and she's going to tell us everything we want to know about coming to Cleveland for WOC Next in June. All right, Brooke, thanks for joining me again. This is becoming our annual event, and I'm always happy to have you on to fill us in about everything we want to know about WOC Next in Cleveland. We've been doing this for quite a few years now. One of these years I'm going to count. And you know, I have a lot of questions because I always do. But what's the thing about Cleveland that you're most excited about? Because you have all the insider information.
The thing I'm actually most excited about is Cleveland. I think it's one of those really good kept secrets when it comes to a city. I know a lot of people think, or may think, that Cleveland doesn't sound that exciting, but I'm actually really excited to be back in Cleveland. I've been there a few times now, and I think it's starting to get some more national recognition as well. You know, the women's NCAA Final Four games were all in Cleveland recently. We're going to be there, so that's a big event. But they're also hosting some other big sporting events throughout the year, as well as some other big conferences. I'm really excited for them to get that national stage. I'm also really excited to bring our members and our community there. Cleveland is a very walkable city. It's very clean. It feels very safe. It's relatively quiet. And you get the water views right on Lake Erie. You still get all of the food and nightlife of being downtown. They have a couple of different areas that are really nice for after you're done being in sessions all day, both on the waterfront as well as on 4th Street, which is right by the Hyatt. And it's like a cobblestone street that cars can't go down. It's lined with some good restaurants and some other activities like a bowling alley and a comedy club, things like that. I think it's going to be way more exciting than people think when they initially think about Cleveland. I'm also really excited that WOC Next, WOC leadership, and our planning committee all made the decision to support having a party as our welcome event. As you know, since the rebrand of WOC Next, we've done a welcome event that's been less formal, but it's been a great way to start networking right off the bat. And this is something that we're going to continue to do, but we got the opportunity in Cleveland to combine some of those social events that we've done in the past along with our welcome party. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, or as a reminder, we will be doing our walk and roll party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. So I'm really excited about that. Their hours are a little wonky, so trying to get there while attending sessions is going to be a little bit hard. Plus, if you come to the party, we have the entire museum to us, just for us. We have a full rental of the space. You'll just be there with other conference attendees. You can start networking right away. Obviously, you get access to the full museum, you know, and we'll have drinks and food and things like that. That's one of the things I'm most excited about, is to just really be able to show off the city in conjunction with our education. The fact that WOC Nursing started in Cleveland surely doesn't hurt. So there's also a lot of really good local speakers, people from the Cleveland Clinic who will be on the podium. This is a partnership this year with the Mideast region. And so they'll be featured throughout the event as well. And hopefully we'll see a nice boost of members in that region. Cleveland's accessibility by car. I mean, I'm really excited about being in Cleveland.
I did a podcast with Nick from the Cleveland Conventions Bureau, and he was talking in that episode about some cool things to make sure to see in the Hall of Fame when we have access to it. So people will have to listen to that episode to get his take on some new exhibits at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So how best should an attendee prepare to come to Cleveland?
Aside from the usual things that you prepare, I think I would say definitely check the weather. Again, we're right on the water. It's June, we're used to it being hot, and I'm not saying that it won't be warm, but right on the water is probably going to get us a little bit cooler than some of the other locations we've been to. I would also say, check out the city. One of the cool things that we're doing this year, which I'm sure you'll ask me about later, Jody, but I'm going to plug it in here too, is we're actually ending sessions on the earlier side on Monday. And that was done intentionally so that our attendees have the opportunity to see some of the city. We bring you to these cities and I talk about how cute and fun they are, and then we don't give you any time. Sessions are ending early Monday afternoon. There is a workshop. There's also a symposia that you can attend if you do want to keep going with the education. But it's also sort of an opportunity for you to get out when it's daylight and there's still some time, and hopefully you're not too exhausted. And, you know, I already mentioned the waterfront area. There's stuff by the Hall of Fame. There's also, I think they call it the Flats, which is the other area of the waterfront where there are bars and restaurants and activities. But there's also some other pretty cool places in the city too. There's a place called Playhouse Square, which is like theater district. And it has the largest outdoor chandelier. It literally sits in the middle of the street. It's a really, really cool. Depending on what your hobbies are, there's a really cool botanical garden center in Cleveland. Also, for those of you who are fans, the house from A Christmas Story is located just outside of Cleveland. That's a short little cab or Lyft or Uber ride away. You can see the house. And then there's also like a gift shop right across the street with every leg lamp you could ever want. A lot of people might think they won't have the time and they don't really know what's around Cleveland. And for those two who want to stay close, we're really walkable area just to, there's the public library and, like I mentioned, 4th Street, some other really cool restaurants. But if you're looking for more of an adventure, that Monday afternoon is really going to give you the opportunity to check out some of the local area museums, things like that.
And then how's the parking there? Is there parking with the different hotels if you're driving in? What goes on with that?
That's one of our exciting things, I think, about Cleveland is just how accessible we are to so many people. So we do expect to see a lot of drivers. So every hotel has a garage, and then there's also a garage at the convention center. I would say take a minute to look into that based on where you're staying, how long you're staying, but there's plenty of ample parking around the city.
Are the hotels in good proximity to the conference center, or how is that set up this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Hilton is actually attached to the convention center. Marriott is across the street. The Westin is kind of about a block away. You mostly just walk past this really beautiful green space between the convention center and the Westin. And then the Hyatt is a couple of blocks away, but it's also the closest one to 4th Street, which, like I said, had a lot of bars and restaurants. So it's the, we'll call it the furthest hotel, though it's still only about 2.5 blocks away from the convention center. But it's probably the most centrally located when you're talking about walking around the city. And it's beautiful. It was actually in Architectural Digest as one of the like top 10 hotel lobbies. It's a very historic indoor open arcade area within the Hyatt. So it's a really cool thing to check out, even if that's not the hotel you're staying at.
Good thing you mentioned that. People wouldn't maybe know to do go there. And then I think early bird registration is closed now. I always mean to look that up exactly, but it seems like that's closed. So if we didn't make that, what would you recommend that somebody did?
Nothing that different. It's going to cost you a few extra dollars, but at this point, that's all that really changes. We still want you to come. We still want you to register. You can register all the way up until you arrive in Cleveland. Obviously, you'll have a faster check-in process if you do it online. The early bird deadline is a great savings, but it doesn't really change much of anything when you register. So don't let it stop you. If you haven't registered yet and you want to come join us, we'll be there.
We'll be happy to have people.
Absolutely.
And so the convention center is with the Hilton. And then are there some events that are in the hotels? You know how some years, like there's breakfasts or other things that go on in the hotel adjacent to the conference center? Is that happening this year too, Brooke, or how's that set up?
The exhibit hall, all of the general session, concurrent sessions, workshops, that's all going to take place in the Huntington Convention Center of Cleveland. That being said, the chapter breakfasts, as well as all of our symposia, will take place in the Hilton. And like I said, they are connected. All the symposia will be on the 5th floor of the Hilton, and there are escalators and elevators that go straight between the lobby level and even the convention center level and those meeting spaces. So you don't even have to use the same elevators as people who are trying to get to and from your hotel rooms. You can, but there's additional elevators as well as escalators. There'll be a lot of signage, but it should be pretty easy. You'll either be in the Hilton or the convention center, and everything is pretty condensed. Once you get from the Hilton to the convention center, you can pretty much see, if you stand in front of the exhibit hall, you can pretty much see every single room that we have. So it's a very condensed space, and I think it'll make it easy to get from one session to another, have some time to chit chat or use the restroom or grab a cup of coffee in between. I'm excited for that too. I think it's the experience is going to be a really easy one for our attendees.
And then is there a registration area outside of the exhibit hall?
It is.
How commonly it's centrally located to where everybody needs to be going this year too?
Yep, same thing. So it'll open on Saturday at noon. So if you're arriving on Saturday, you get ahead of the rush Sunday morning. Or also if you're going to come to a party, you're going to want to go Saturday afternoon and pick up your stuff. Registration will be located right outside the exhibit hall. If you're following convention center signage, it's officially the exhibit hall level pre-function area, but hopefully we'll have some signs up too to help direct you there as well.
So if I'm a first-time attendee, some years there's a first-time attendee gathering on Saturday and then something else. What would that look like for me as a first-time person who wants to go to everything?
We are still having our first-time attendee session, reception, whatever you want to call it. It will be on Saturday from 4:30 to 5:30 in the convention center, not far from the registration area. I think it's room 25. Our NCPC chair, our conference planning committee chair, as well as some of our committee members will be there. Usually some of the board president will stop by as well. There's about a 10 to 15 minute formal-ish presentation. And by that, I just mean there are slides. Janet will run through things to make sure you don't miss. Another thing that we get to do this year too is we've timed it so that if you want to come to the party and you're a first time attendee, maybe you don't know anybody, it's going to be a really easy walk and it's timed the right way so that everyone could walk from the first time attendee reception to the party. And for those of you who are undecided about the party and then decide you want to go, as long as it doesn't sell out, the other cool part is that because registration is right there, you could still buy tickets to the party at that time. Just to be clear, since we've mentioned the party a bunch of times, I'm not sure I've said this, it is a ticketed event. It is an extra fee, but it's about what it would cost you to have a drink and some food and go to the museum. And you get to do it with all of your friends and not worry about the public. Hence why I highly recommend it. And it is a short walk from the convention center and from all of the hotels. You can also obviously like grab a taxi or an Uber or Lyft if you prefer. But that is, again, that's Saturday evening. So if you haven't made your plans yet, I would say you might want to get there for that. And if you have already registered and didn't think about it or didn't notice the ticket through that process, you can log back into your registration and add that to your registration so that as soon as you check in, you'll get your tickets and things for that too.
I think everyone should come to the party. It's going to be a good one, I think.
I think so too.
And so what are the most important things that you think that the first-time attendee should know about the whole conference experience? Because it really is an amazing experience besides learning a lot.
Yeah, I would say take a look at the schedule. You can do that through the federal program that you'll get that's printed. You can do it through the app. But I would say take a look at the schedule and take a look at the exhibit hall before you come to conference if you can, or maybe when you first get there, if you're sitting in your hotel room or having a glass of wine the night before or a cup of coffee the morning of, take a minute to say, I definitely want to go to this session. I definitely want to see this speaker. I definitely want to talk to this exhibitor, because especially from an education perspective, our attendees are really lucky that at this point, they get all of our education post-event. They have access to recordings, but you can only see a speaker if you come in person live. Mm-hmm. So perhaps you look at the schedule too quickly and there's two sessions you really like, you might make like a knee-jerk reaction to which one to go to. But I think if you give yourself a minute, think about who you want to see, who you want to make sure you see, what session you want to make sure you're in. And then same thing with exhibits. Our exhibit hall is open a couple of hours a day, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's also the only thing that occurs during that time. So I really suggest you map out who you definitely want to talk to. It's also a good time to take a look at the posters, both paper posters and e-posters. But you want to make sure that you hit those people, because you think, by the third day of being in the exhibit hall, oh, am I still going to have stuff to do? But I think you are. There's going to be the meet the poster authors, which is when all of our authors of our abstracts stand by their posters. You can ask questions. That's something, as a first-time attendee, you want to make sure you know about. That's on Tuesday. And I think taking a little bit of time to plan ahead, if you can, is a really great thing. The other things to know, I think, are the extras, as I'll call them, which are our three hands-on workshops this year. We're back by popular demand. We're doing both fistula and debridement again, like we did last year, because those sold out really fast and even opened them up to be bigger, and then they still sold out. So we wanted to be sure that we offered those again. We're also doing a continence workshop this year, which, you know, is something that I think it's a lot harder to find at other events. So it's worth checking out. Those three hands-on workshops do require a ticket and an additional fee, but it's pretty minimal for the experience and the education you're going to get. And then obviously I mentioned the party. We also have a Fellows Gala. As you know, last year was our inaugural class of the WOCN Fellows. We will be inducting a new class this year that is an off-property ticketed event with limited tickets, but it is something exciting and something worth coming to if that's something that interests you. And then the symposia. So the symposia are not extra in the sense that they don't require any extra money, but we do really encourage you to pre-register for those symposia. For first-time attendees who might be asking, you don't necessarily have to pre-register for all of our other sessions. You can just go into whichever one you want to. But for the symposia, the pre-registration really saves you a seat in that room, and those rooms sometimes fill up. So we will have 10 this year. We have 3 CE lunches on Sunday, which is pretty typical for us and exciting. And then we'll have 2 non-CE breakfasts on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Take a look at what you want to attend and reserve yourself that seat. Again, you could log back into your registration if you've already registered and haven't done that. Also this year, we have an additional non-CE symposium on Monday afternoon. So the day that I told you we're ending the society conference schedule a bit early, for those of you who don't necessarily want to go out and explore and want to keep learning and or find the topic really interesting, we do have an additional symposium this year, Monday afternoon as well. So that's 10 of them. The other great thing to note is that all of them will be streamed, but also recorded. So whichever ones you might be interested in, but don't make it to, you'll be able to watch those later as well.
So that's nice. A couple of new ways of doing things to meet people's needs. And then the evaluations, anything changed about those? I remember you could do them at this right when you finished the session. You could do them all when you left. Just review that because there's always seems to be questions about that.
So the evaluations can be done right after a session is over or a week later. So they're all done online. They are the same website, whether you're attending virtually or in person. So I always tell people, if you want, make notes, jot a few things down, but you don't necessarily have to rush to review a session the minute it ends. Just remember that in order to get credit for a session, you do need to complete not only the session evaluation, but then the overall evaluation, which occurs at the end of the evaluation website.
You can't just do the whatever sessions, you have to do the entire thing. And is there going to be a time, I think last year it was through most of the year, that if I went to the conference and I attended lots of stuff there, but then I had a few months to listen to things I didn't get to in Vegas, which was awesome because it helped with the CE and then it helped with not being able to be in two places at once. Is that going on again, Brooke?
Yeah. So this year, a lot of groups and a lot of events are offering post-event viewing, but I think we might be the one who offers it for as long as we do. So once again, this year, we will be offering it until the end of the calendar year. So you have until December 31st, 2024, to not only view all of the sessions, but also obtain credit from watching any of the CE sessions for that additional, I guess it's almost like 6 months.
That was amazing last year because you think you're going to go home and do it right away. And then a month and a half goes by and you're like, oh, I better start listening to those. And tell me about the convention center and are there places there or nearby for a snack or a cup of coffee? Or I know last year there was a lot of places where you could grab things on your way by, or if you just want a little treat in the afternoon. Tell us about that.
So as you know, we will provide lunch Monday and Tuesday in the exhibit hall. We also provide some beverage breaks, both in the morning and the afternoon, with coffee and iced tea and that kind of stuff. But yes, there are other places that you can grab something. Obviously, all of the hotels have some sort of lobby refreshment area. Most of them have moved to a bit of a grab and go situation. The Hyatt has a local coffee shop in it. Then the Marriott and the Hilton have some pretty big grab and go situations. And the Westin has a small one. They have a pretty good hotel restaurant. I mean, all the hotels have some good restaurants, but for a quick grab and go, the Hilton, the Marriott, which are the two closest, have a pretty big option. Also, again, you're downtown, so you can walk outside. I think I saw like a soup place and a Subway. You can do it that way too. The convention center also has a few outlets. It's just sort of on the other side from where most of our meeting space is, but they do have a Starbucks in the convention center. And then I believe they have one other outlet with food, but I believe it has changed a few times. So I'm not 100% sure what's there right now.
Any direction you might want to go and there's something close by.
Pretty much, yep.
Right. And then what about the Innovation Hub? People loved that last year. What's going on with that this year?
Yeah, so we'll be doing it the same way that we've done it the last 2 years. It will be located on the exhibit hall floor, which is in Hall C of the convention center. It will also be live streamed for our virtual attendees, as well as recorded for all of our attendees to watch later. So we're doing something a little bit different, but also the same. We're still streaming in the speakers because it allows our virtual attendees to get that direct access to that session. But we're going to allow the companies to do an in-person introduction. So you might see somebody from the sponsoring company stand up and welcome you into the space if you're there in person. We're also working our AV magic to make the screen a bit bigger, because for those of you who are in person, you know, you're sitting in that space watching a TV screen. So we're doing a little bit more of a projection in order to try and make that a little bit easier and more accessible for those people who are sitting in the physical Innovation Hub within the convention center. But that being said, we do have Innovation Hub sessions, I think at all times. The exhibit hall is open this year, so Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So definitely take a look and check it out. It's usually when our exhibiting companies have the opportunity to really speak directly to our audience, share updates, new products, things like that. So we're excited for that again this year too.
That'll be really nice to have those bigger screens, because you know how we are as walk nurses. We want to see pictures of all those things. So nice. That's great. So the exhibit hall is open the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then the hours, we could find that information on the app and in our conference brochure too, because sometimes there's a lot going on and you forget what hours or have what going on.
Yeah, and the general rule is Sunday afternoon is an opening reception. It's about 4:15 to 6:15. And then Monday and Tuesday, the hall is open around lunchtime. And we serve lunch at the beginning of those hours. So the exact timing, like you said, Jody, it's probably good to take a look at the agenda. But that's the quick and easy way of saying it is Sunday afternoon. It's a late afternoon reception. And then Monday and Tuesday, it's during lunchtime.
That's really great, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of good things for us to see there. Is the WOCN Society going to have a booth? They had a really nice booth last year. What's happening with that?
Yeah, so the WOCN Society will actually have a space at the very front of the hall, even in front of the posters, really. So as soon as you walk in, you'll see them. And some of the cool things is they're going to share the space this year with the Mideast chapter. We talked about that collaboration. They'll be located in the hall within our booth, which will be fun. Also in the WOCN space, we'll be capturing information on our quality improvement project. There'll be some in-booth education. And then aside from the Mideast chapter, we'll also have JWOCN representatives and some of the editorial board in the booth as well. So it's a good place to stop by. We'll be celebrating history of the clinic and the city and the practice, sort of all coming together. There'll be some fun surprises in there. So take a minute and stop by. And then obviously, if you have any questions about our member benefits or our educational offerings, you know, there'll be staff in there when the hall is open to answer those questions as well.
That seemed like it was a gathering spot last year too. You'd see people gather, like take with their coffee and kind of relax or something a little bit, which was kind of fun too. And so tell me about the abstracts and the posters. I know you can have a paper one. I know that there are some online and those e-posters will be on screens. So tell me what's going on with all that and how I would see those if I were a new person to the conference.
Sure. So all of our abstracts, all of our accepted abstracts will get published in a JWSCN supplement. Also, our top-rated research abstracts will be highlighted and presented during our abstract general session on Monday. The other thing you'll want to note about that session, too, is they'll also announce the poster merit awards during that session as well. And then you can go into the exhibit hall or the poster hall, which is at the front of the exhibit hall, same space, basically. But you can access posters, again, check the agenda, but from approximately like 8 until 4 pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. So in between sessions, when the exhibit hall is open, before sessions start, if you're an early bird person, and you'll have the opportunity, like you said, to look at any paper posters that have been brought, as well as there'll be screens located throughout the poster area for you to look at the e-posters. Every single abstract these days is asked to produce an e-poster, because aside from seeing them on a screen on site in Cleveland, they can also all be viewed on our online abstract website. Push out via email once it's ready. It will also be linked to the conference app, and it can be viewed a little bit prior to and a little bit after being on site in Cleveland. So you get a little bit of extra time too. And then on Tuesday in the afternoon in the exhibit hall, I believe it's 1 to 2:30, is our Meet the Author session. And so, as I mentioned before, that's when the poster authors will all be in that area. That's also when the Merit Award winners will get to take their pictures and put up the ribbon at their poster and things like that. So it's a good opportunity for networking and asking questions. If you see a poster ahead of time and want to come back, you know that the author will be there.
And then there's still virtual attendance at the whole event. Is that different than other years? So you can just sign up for that and do it, right?
We do have a virtual registration. It is the same in the sense that you eventually have access to all of the sessions, just like the in-person attendee. That being said, we only live stream things out of the largest ballroom. So all virtual attendees will have live streaming access to a session at all times, but they won't necessarily have a choice. So obviously they'll have all the general sessions. And then when there are concurrent sessions happening based on the room location, they'll have to watch that one. However, the other sessions occurring at the same time will be recorded and available later. Also, our virtual attendees will obviously have access to all of the online e-posters, as well as there's usually a virtual WOCN booth if there are questions or things about membership and the society. Virtual registrants will also have access, live streaming access to all innovation hubs, as well as all symposia sessions. So that's a place where they will have a choice. It's when we have multiple symposia sessions. But again, it'll all be recorded. So anything you don't get to see, you can watch later.
I remember the system last time I did it, there was a system checker that helped you to make sure that you could get and hear everything. And there was a chat. And then there was a way to ask questions also of the speaker that they got during the session. Is that all that the same as it's been in other years, Brooke?
Yep, all that's the same. It's the same platform that everyone's pretty accustomed to. I will say that you'll probably want to download the app, whether you're in person or virtual. It'll give you access, like I said, to the e-posters, quick access to the evaluations, but also gives you access to participate in Q&A and also polling. So both in-person and virtual attendees will be able to pull up their phone in order to participate in any sessions that have polling as well. And then, yeah, there's a system checker that you should use prior to the session starting. In fact, I would also suggest that before we kick off on Sunday, if you're attending virtually, that you make sure you can log in It is within RWCNCC, our Continuing Education Center. But, you know, we always think we remember how to log in, and sometimes we forget. So I would check on that. We'll load in registrations a few days before the event. We'll send out an email to those people to say you can now log in. So I would say take a minute to do that too. And then if there's any tech help you need while things are going on, there is a help button, and they'll do their best to help you if it's a tech problem. If you have questions related to sessions or registration or things like that, you'll be better off really emailing our WOCN info box, info@wocn.org. We'll also typically have some people monitoring the chat for the sessions, but that's really meant for you to network with other virtual attendees and not necessarily ask questions like, where are the evaluations? Why can't I log into this? Those sorts of questions should really come directly to the staff so that we can help get you answers.
Those questions are info@wocn.org. If you want to say hi to your friends in other places, you can use the chat.
Yeah, and you can ask questions of the speakers. And also typically, because you're networking, you might have a question about the topic and the speaker is not going to see it instantly, but perhaps somebody else who's attending virtually can help answer the question too. So it really is a great place to interact with other virtual attendees, that the chat within the sessions.
I'm always stunned at how busy the chats are. It's fun.
So busy.
And so if I want to get that app, I am so attached to that app. I love it. But if you're not me and don't have it in your hand at all moments, how do you get the app?
Yeah, so it hasn't launched just yet for this year, but it will pretty soon. We usually launch it about a month out from conference. So sometime in May, we'll send an email out as we always do. But you can download the WOC Next app in any app store. So if you have an iPhone, you know, you go to the app store. If you have a Android, you go to their app store equivalent. You should be able to type WOC Next into the search bar and it should pop right up. It's right in there, those app stores. So you can download that onto your home screen and use it for the whole conference and after and before.
I like it afterward for the posters or sometimes the handouts. And I use that app a lot even after the event, which I love.
Yeah, absolutely. And like exhibitors, you can take notes in the app too. Yeah. Or mark which exhibitors you saw or didn't see. I know sometimes you'll be like, oh my God, I talked to so many people. I can't remember, but they were over in that corner by the whatever. And you can pull up the map and be like, oh, that's what it was.
For sure. Because you think you're going to remember all that, but you don't always. All right. What else is important? Anything else new and exciting we should know about? Excited to check out Cleveland for sure. And excited for the agenda that looks great. But what else is important that you should tell us about?
Yeah, so the one thing we haven't talked about is the Connection Hub, which is a newer thing for us as well. Some of you might remember it. It's usually where our big WOC Next letters are. I know people like to use that as a photo app. It's also a good place to meet if you have a friend or a colleague, maybe you've never even met in person. If you want to say like, oh, we should meet somewhere. It's easy to say like, let's meet at the Connection Hub. You know, that's why we built it initially. But I will also tell you, going to tease a little bit, that you need to stop by the Connection Hub this year for the reveal of a popular trend, something that will give you a brain break, hopefully will be a bit of a stress reliever, really will promote friendship, community, and connection. So we're going to have a fun activity located in the Connection Hub this year that really encourage everybody to stop by and check out. We will provide supplies for said activity. So you just have to come open-minded and bring your creativity. And the only other clue I'll give is by simply saying that we are stepping into our WOCN era in the WOC Next Connection Hub. So stop on by. I think you'll have some fun.
Oh, now my interest is piqued. I can't wait to see what that is. All right. Well, thank you for coming on and chatting with me today. As always, you have loads of really helpful information. I think it really helps all of us to navigate the time at conference and get as much out of it as possible. And so I really appreciate you coming on again.
Thank you for having me. If it's okay with you, I do want to say one other thing.
Of course.
And that's simply that the world obviously has been changing over the last handful of years, as is the nursing industry, as is the event industry. So the one other little plug I just want to make is that right now the society is working on really taking a look at WOC Next and what we want it to look like in the future, but more importantly, what you all want it to look like in the future. So we will be sending out a survey pretty soon, actually. And so if you see that come across your inbox, I really urge you all to take a couple of minutes and complete it, because in order to make strategic decisions about the the future of WOC next. We really want to hear from you. It doesn't do us any good to make decisions if they don't fall in line with what our community is really looking for and really getting to the crux of how this event serves as our attendees and our members. So that's something that you'll see coming out over the next probably couple of weeks. And so again, we just really urge you to take a minute and participate.
That's great. So any feedback or ideas people have you're looking for, we'll see you in Cleveland, Brooke.
See you there.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Walk Talk. Please visit WOCN.org/podcast for additional details about this topic and the speakers. You can also get more information about subscribing to this podcast so you never miss an episode, and to get the latest news and information from the WOCN Society. Again, that's WOCN.org/podcast. We look forward to having you join us for the next episode of Walk Talk.